It's another edition of KFC Radio brought to you by Yahoo Fantasy Football. Go to barstoolsports.com/YahooKFC to play for free in the Yahoo Fantasy app. It's the best rated app the past 3 years running for fantasy sports. What does that mean? It means that it has the best mobile product. It has the easiest product to use. It means that it provides the best analysis of players and in-game matchups. It means that it's the easiest to draft, make trades, and pick up people on the waiver wire. It is the easiest way and the best way to play fantasy football this season. You can talk smack in the app. You can run it if you're the commissioner. It's easy to use if you're just a contestant. Whatever it may be, Yahoo has got you covered. If you go to barstoolsports.com/YahooKFC, you can sign up now. Yahoo is just one of Yahoo's like one of the OG titans of the game. You know you're in good hands with Yahoo.
Yahoo,
barstoolsports.com/YahooKFC.
Couldn't even hit the high notes right there. I don't have much of a voice. The Red Sox won last night.
We begin with a little special something. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. I'm doing a little Buble. Happy birthday, dear Feidelberg and Tim Tebow. A happy birthday to you. You know,
that was really pleasant.
You know, you gave your Tom Brady rendition. I figured I had to show my boy a little bit of love.
Yeah, you had even more eroticism in yours than I had in mine.
You know, we've been together a long time, bud. Lasted longer than most of my other relationships. So, technically, you'll always. You're just aging along with my marriage. So you'll just always have my marriage beat.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's true.
I've been dating Feidelberg longer than you. Sorry, wife. Sorry, marriage. 29 today.
29 today.
Last year of your 30s, 20s. Does it matter? Not really.
No.
Because you're already miserable. You've already resigned.
Yeah, I wonder what that's like to get sad about birthdays. What the fuck?
Chicks.
What do you mean?
Chicks get sad about birthdays.
You're really late to the game if you're like, oh, now I'm old. I haven't accomplished anything. Yeah.
No fucking kidding. Very sad to report that Tim Tebow has not been called up for his 30th birthday. Was banking on that to uncancel the season. He has not been called up. Looks like the miracles are not coming. And,
he got hit in the head with a fastball and lived. That's kind of a miracle.
True. Somebody said wait 3 days. Maybe he'll be called up on the 17th.
That's true.
Maybe next episode we'll be talking to you. Tebow will be called up, and we can uncancel, and the miracles can unfold. At the moment, I was kind of that dude who was like, here comes the rapture. Here's the second coming.
You had all your eggs in the Tim Tebow's Jesus reincarnate basket.
A lot of eggs in that basket.
That one.
That basket is...
Didn't go over too well.
Nope. Didn't go over at all. Just sat there. There's just a basket of eggs on the ground. Nothing happened to it.
It's a bold basket to go in on.
Well, is it really? I thought we could have really relied upon. I thought that was a pretty safe bet, to be honest. Things were getting weird.
I mean, he's still doing weird shit. Like, what are you doing?
I just need the weirdest.
The autistic kid the other day,
He fucking healed an autistic kid, for God's sakes.
That's crazy.
What have you done? Compare. Tebow's turning 30. You're turning 29. What have you done? What have you done that Tim Tebow hasn't? I can think of one thing. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I've done sex on numerous occasions.
Multiple times. Nah, Tebow's definitely fucked more than you have.
Yeah.
More than you have.
For sure.
Have you done anything better than Tim Tebow? Probably drink better than him.
I could probably drink better. You know what? I bet if he wanted to.
He could.
Yeah. I have blonde hair better than him. That's about it.
When he really wants to, his hair pops.
I'm not saying I have better hair.
Just blonde hair.
My color is different than his.
That's just saying something different.
Yeah.
It's like, well, my nose is different.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
I have blue eyes. He has brown.
So Tebow,
I'm better at having blue eyes and blonde hair.
Tebow just trashes on you in every single way.
Yeah. I mean, he tried on most people. I mean, I wouldn't like to hang out with him, but it's hard to say that I've lived a better life than Tim Tebow. I have cut zero foreskins off penises. He's been doing that.
What?
Yeah, Tim Tebow loves going to the Philippines and circumcising kids.
No.
Yeah.
He does it himself?
Oh, I'm sure he doesn't do it himself. But I bet he's probably done it.
That's weird, by the way, the circumcision thing.
Yeah, it's very, very odd.
Very strange.
It's the
day that you come home with a kid and his dick's chopped up, you're like, I feel like day one, I really failed you, man.
It's a unique charity to put your weight behind. I want to cut dicks.
Very strange. Very strange. The religious.
I want to make sex less pleasurable because that's all I know about foreskin. Well, anyone with a foreskin will be. It feels better to have sex with it. No, it doesn't, you gross
you
fucking
animal. You
just
have a weird fucking dick and you need to justify it somehow.
Yeah. Feels better.
Like,
no.
Well, there's dirt trapped underneath there. Okay, how about that? You don't clean your dick enough, probably.
Plus, like, sex. I don't need sex to feel better.
It feels plenty good. Yeah. Okay, I need to slow that whole train down, actually.
I wish I had
some sort of fucking hood on there.
I've never been inside a vagina and been like, oh, I wish there was a better sensation than this. Yeah. I wish there was some way to improve.
Imagine
this.
If you put it in, you were like, this dick is just not right. It's just not right for sex. This dick I was given stinks for sex. Somebody chop it up. Now, that's crazy. But I definitely was like, there's my kid's dick all jacked up now, but you're going to thank me. When you're
I can't believe I never asked you about your child's penis. What was that like?
It's not like you don't like see it, but I'm just saying when he comes back, his dick's all red and stuff. It's like looks like his dick's been through the fucking grinder. I'm like that dick's been through a lot. And you're only 2 days old, bro. But when you're like 12 years old, you're gonna be happy that you don't have a hooded dick.
Yeah,
that is a fact. Because can you imagine a middle schooler coming home like, daddy, the guys in the locker room saw my fucking dick and they're making fun of it. It's like. Well, that's because I was neglectful when you were a kid and didn't chop off that weird hood.
I was never a bully. I don't think I would ever call myself a bully unless you were on my hockey team and you had – or not on any sports team with
and
me.
You just
– unless I saw your penis and I had foreskin, then I was a bully.
And you were just nonstop.
Yeah.
So I saved you, kid, from the Feidelbergs of the world. Fucking assholes. I'm a little jealous of you right now. Not only are you only 29, but you got this fucking raspy hangover voice going.
Yeah.
I think it gets the chicks wet.
Oh, really?
I do. I think raspy voice fucks.
Oh, man.
I'm actually trying to even do it a little bit by myself. I'm talking like that, too, because I don't want John to fucking steal the shine. Yeah, there it is, that laugh. That laugh is like chicks are going to love that, I swear to God. They're like, this guy, he runs wild.
Last night got out of hand. Last night got away from you. Yeah, last night. It was such a weird thing, too, last night, because it was like, I didn't drink all day. Like, Sundays, sometimes, like, Sunday, I'll get away from you. Like, you start drinking in the afternoon, and, like,
things, by, like, 4 o'clock, you're fucked.
Right. Yeah. But, like, I didn't start drinking until 6:30 at night.
Sunday night baseball.
That's a weird thing to do.
Is a fickle beast. It can be, like, you know, you're laying on your couch totally sober, like, this sucks, or you can be gearing up to go out for it. Barstool at the ballpark, free beer at 6:30 to lead into a Yankees-Red Sox game after all weekend of doing whatever you do. That's a tall task.
Yeah. It was worth it, though.
Oh, I'd say so. I wish I was there for that. That home run was... There really has been no juice with the Yankees and Red Sox. I think it's back.
I'm fully back on it now because just being in the Bronx yesterday, like being around...
The collective 50,000, cocksuckery.
Every Yankee fan is the same exact fucking person. They all wear their jerseys unbuttoned with some shitty t-shirt under it. They have a gold chain. They got a flat brim. They
terrible tattoos.
Argue about whose mom makes better pasta.
Yeah,
all a bunch of fucking shitheads.
They go like, hey, oh, hey.
Yeah. And just like being around them was like, it was a reminder that I hated them.
And then the collective Aaron Judge dick riding from a once great franchise that has had just dozens of Hall of Famers come through. This guy. He's already been anointed. He's the king. I mean, it's like, who's Derek Jeter? What? That guy who owns the Marlins? I don't know him. We've got Aaron Judge. Everybody's got a crisp, brand new number 99 Aaron Judge jersey with the name on the back.
They're all wearing the fucking Judge wigs and robes.
Let me tell you something. If you go out in public to a baseball game and you wear a Judge costume, you need to be exterminated from the human race.
You're a real piece of shit.
I mean, come on. That's one cause. One Nazi cause I could get behind.
There were 10,000 of them there last night. That's probably a high number, but there were a lot of them.
God.
The Jumbotron pans to like the judges' chambers and shit. And they're all there. They're a real bunch of fucking shitheads.
When that ball left the park, when I'm on enemy territory as a sports fan, I don't like to necessarily rub it in too much.
I'm with you. I'm a
pretty like understated dude. When the Mets and the Cubs were in the NLCS when we were filming, it was a whole different story. If I'm just like solo or whatever, no cameras on, I'll probably be like smug and actually worse in a condescending manner, like almost like a you'll get him again next time or something like that. But I'm not like overtly like fist pumping. But that was shocking.
See,
home run.
I'm like, I actually like, I befriend the people in the section, and maybe I'm busting balls, and like,
right,
it's
right,
fun.
Right,
like,
right.
I'm not like, fuck you, you fucking
right.
loser.
And so when that ball goes out, your happiness is not equal to their misery, and you have to recognize that.
Correct.
They're way more miserable than you are happy.
I don't know. Last night
it was close.
Last night,
you
I was
think
just,
you took the cake?
I just started hysterically laughing.
Oh, man, that would drive me nuts. That would drive me nuts.
Like, I was like, I was like, get out, get out.
That's where that voice is. That's where that voice went. Right into the night. Right into the Bronx night. Goodbye, Feidelberg's voice.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was great. I mean,
so when
Rafael Devers, 20 years old. 103-mile pitch. Oppo gone.
Yo, Aroldis Chapman's just not good. He just throws hard. Same thing with Aaron Judge. He's just tall.
I actually...
This guy stink.
That is one I always thought with Chapman.
It's like right now, he should not be their closer, but everyone's like, he throws 103. If he doesn't throw that hard, nobody sticks with him through this rough patch. It's not a rough patch. It's not that good.
I remember watching him. I never got to watch him that much. He played for Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati Reds don't exactly get a ton of fucking national televised games. And so, like, the only time I would ever see him was in the All-Star game. And he'd come in and he'd throw, like, he'd, like, walk two guys, just balls all over the place.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's going fast, but, like, I don't really see the appeal of this guy.
Until he throws, like, 112, it's going to be a problem when you're not that good of a pitcher. And Aaron Judge is just tall. Tom, I'm looking at you. Aaron Judge, he's just tall. Michael Conforto is a better player than him.
That's just wrong.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. I think Aaron Judge just struck out again right now. Right now, as we speak. Another K. Not only were you screaming and laughing like a hyena, I saw a video on Twitter afterwards of you. I think you were fucking the ground at the bar at Billy's.
I don't know what I
was think you were
doing.
I think you were banging the
floor.
All weekend I've been
in a real dance mood. Like, I've danced all weekend.
Well, this was not dancing. This was fucking. You just dove on the floor of the bar and just, like, thrust it against it.
Something happened that. I think the video is some fake news. There was something that got me to do that. And then
right.
It came in late.
Fake news.
And it didn't have what prompted me. I forget what prompted me. But there was something that was calling to me, being like, get on the ground.
The Kavorka just gotcha. You were with Barstool people for Barstool the Ballpark. What was the reaction when real Feidelberg came out?
I don't know.
I'm talking the, like, smack your wife in the face Feidelberg. Fuck the ground of the bar Feidelberg. Perhaps maybe go home and piss in the bed Feidelberg.
There was at one point at the end of the night, I was, like, fucking around in the suite or something like that, and my buddy, because I had real friends with me.
The worlds collided last night for Feidelberg.
And I think one of them just came up to me, and one of my real friends was like, he's like, yo, I don't think anyone you work with, like, knew how fucking weird you were. And it's, like, a weird, and I was like, you're probably right.
Yeah,
because, like,
definitely
it's a weird
right.
concept because we do this shit, like, in here and whatnot.
No matter what, though, you'll always be a smidge different. Even in this setting, and even a step further in like, KFC radio setting, where you're pretty much yourself. There's still something that's a little different than when you're just with your friends outside of this whole shebang.
100%. And it's like that's any job has that, where they're like, there's work you and there's real you.
Right.
And last night was like real me. And it was strange.
Yeah, I bet.
I think for a lot of people it was
Tom,
like,
Tom, were you like, this is weird, Feidelberg's being weird?
Yeah, it was just I made like best friends with his friends. Oh,
his real friend. That's a good time.
I met a couple. I was like, I really approve of you guys. And I was like, well, it's a good thing because we're like, I think they were married or something.
Oh, yeah. Two of my friends
were
there.
I really approve of you guys.
like that mattered.
Yeah, there is a very, no matter what job, this is like one of those mail time mantra things. Me and you probably came the closest. Like, mail time was really damn close to, like, just ourselves.
Just being...
Because family is, like, different. But even that, you still kind of change things. Oh, wow, you were getting weird, yeah. Looking at videos, this guy picking him up, spinning him around. Is that G-Man?
Yeah.
G-Man and Feidelberg were having a day.
I think probably the weirdest thing I did, though, was I was just talking to people.
You're just existing and being social.
I talked to Rhea a lot last night. I don't talk to Rhea.
She was probably like, great, like, cool, John. She turns to him, like, what's wrong with Feidelberg? Why? What's? Is he dying?
Talking,
is he a cancer? Is John about to die? Is that what's going on here?
I've always, like, Rhea's very nice, but like, we don't like talk, you know?
Mean, at least you have that. I feel like people look at me in the office like I am a dead person. One time I stayed late here for like a client event. I'm talking with clients. I'm like shooting the shit, watching a game, drinking beers. And the next day, sales was like, "You were really good last night, like talking to people. You were like socializing and talking." I was like, I'm not a fucking dead person. I've just procreated. I'm pretty good at this. I mean, like, for the longest time, all I did was just drink and watch sports and shit. I'm really good at that still, okay?
Reach back, paint the black every once in a while.
Come on. I could still hit 99 on the gun. Fuck. Yeah, I feel like people like Rhea probably look at me like I am an actual corpse. It's like the sun goes down and I retreat to a coffin. Like a reverse vampire or some shit.
So, it is odd to see you here, like, after hours. But that was back in the day, like, when we first moved here, like, people were here like every night until 10.
Yes.
Like, doing shit. That doesn't happen anymore.
No. But I was also the opposite. I was like, I'm not going to this fucking office. So I would leave at like 2:45. Like, I'm out of here. And then radio started, a few things started. So then now I'm here a while.
Yeah.
I try to be here pretty frequently. As much as I possibly can.
It's your escape.
It's the best here compared to home. Home is it's so scary. Home's so scary.
Why?
It's just so hard.
This is really depressing. Like, you look genuinely concerned.
It's not. It's scary. It's just scary. Like, the two kids and the wife on maternity leave, it's, like, scary. It's like living.
How long does she get maternity leave for?
Till the end of October.
That's a long-ass time.
Yeah.
Is that standard?
It's, like, 2 weeks extra. She, like, took her 2 weeks vacation on top of it. I think she's going to go back.
The worst part is the unknown. Like, you just, the known part of going in there and saying, like, anything can go wrong here. There's just too many variables.
Right. I'm like, who's going to get sick? Who's going to fucking shit? Who's going to fall? Who's going to get mad? Who's going to pop in? Who's going to call? I know what I'm going to do here. I know Dave Portnoy is somehow the evil I know at this point.
Yeah.
And there's just no really end in sight. Like, especially right now, it's like, I wake up at 6 and I'm like, if Keegan doesn't sleep tonight, I'm going to be up for 24 hours.
Jesus.
It's a harrowing thought, right? Christ. Yeah. And it's like, so I want to drink through it, but then it can't be like drunk and hungover and shit like that. It's not easy. It's like living, and then it's, you know, you're living with a post delivery. It's a hornet's nest. It's like a giant's hornet's nest, and at any time you might rattle it the wrong way.
See, this is depressing because, like, before this we were doing a video, we were talking about old KFC radio and just like what, you know, how it's progressed and all that stuff, and you were mentioning all of the life changes that you've endured, I guess, through the time.
Found a girl, had a kid, got a house, had another kid, got married, dog, all that shit. All that went down.
That's what you've done since KFC Radio started.
Correct.
I've literally done nothing. But I had like a few short relationships.
But, I mean, that sounds awesome.
And it was really depressing. Like, it was actually, there was a moment where I was like, holy fuck. He's done a lot. Like, I dated a girl for like 6 months at one
point. I'm not the benchmark for that, dude. I put my shit into hyperdrive.
But hearing it now, it explained further. I'm good.
You are good, homie.
Like, when I go home, I know there's nothing that's going to affect me.
God, that's a beautiful thing.
There's no unknowns.
It's
all known.
I know for
the only unknowns are like unknowns you might. Like, I don't know I'm going to fuck this weekend.
I don't know.
It could be somebody.
I don't know what I'm going to watch on TV is really the big one. The biggest nuisance is Netflix when it says, are you still watching? That's it.
I need a Freaky Friday situation so bad. So bad. You know how the Freaky Friday situation is usually like the old dude jumps into like this player who lives like this dope life and shit and like fucks all these chicks? I would just stay on your couch.
Yeah,
and ordinarily it's like they both realize like how good they have it or whatever, you know. I'd just be like, no, I'm staying right here.
See,
I'm not leaving Feidelberg's couch.
I think I would turn out to be a great dad. I think it'd be.
I hope so too. When this happens, you can just stick with him. I won't even feel guilty.
It would be like good. The Ryan Reynolds Jason Bateman one where it turns out that Ryan Reynolds is like he's like actually like, you know, looking for love or whatever, and he's like
it. You're a romantic.
Yes,
you're a dumb idiot.
He fucks Olivia Wilde. It was so. I forget how hot she is until I just randomly think of her name.
Jenny Riley. Shout out to Black Donnelly's. Let's do some. Let's get into Rappaport. We spoke to Michael Rappaport. He is a fucking literal psychopath. That man is absolutely crazy. He was talking about his big thing is duress fantasy drafts, where you put yourself in a stressful situation and do a fantasy football draft then.
You fantasy people are so fucking weird.
It's crazy.
How stressful could your fantasy sports draft be?
Well, if you, like, do it, if you do it in some of the settings that Michael Rappaport is talking about, you can make it stressful as fuck. You could do it in the airport. How stressful is the airport when you're traveling? It's a disaster, unless you go to Upside. Go to Upside.com. You can bundle your flights together with your hotels. All the big names that you want to stay at, all the big names you want to fly, they got all that. And by bundling it, you're going to save money. And even more importantly, you're going to get an Amazon gift card every time you buy a business travel package using Upside. The more you bundle, the more you save, the bigger gift card you get. That means that gift cards can either be $100, $200, or up to $300 if you book with Upside. They are the concierge level of service when it comes to traveling. You get the VIP treatment while paying the low prices. Go to Upside.com. Use the promo code KFC, and you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon.com gift card with your package purchase. That's code KFC to get a $100 gift card for free. Upside.com. Minimum purchase required. See website for details. All right, welcome back once again. My man, Michael Rappaport. He's launching a new podcast this week called Fantasy Football Follies. He's got a new book out. He smoked a bunch of Nazis on Twitter this weekend. Mike, you're a busy man. You probably killed some cats along the way. What's going on?
Ha 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 ha! I'm good, man. I'm glad to be talking to you. Everything's fantastic, and no cats have been killed, man. You know, you guys have really stained my reputation. I get heckled, screamed at, tweeted at. I had somebody pull up to me at a stoplight the other day. It's damage. I've tried to hire a publicist.
Well, listen.
You know, I'm not threatening a lawsuit, but I'm not saying taking it off the table.
You tarnish your image.
I'm being straight up because we're cool. You know, I'm Barstool, you're Barstool, but I'm just telling you that a lawsuit is not off the table.
You tarnished your own image when you slaughtered nearly a dozen cats outside of your house. That just does not happen. You don't find a bunch of dead cats in a fucking fountain, okay?
What's going on over there, man?
Nothing. You know, the usual, except with a Nazi twist. So last week on Barstool Radio, which you've sat in on many times, we actually, before things unfortunately popped off down in Charlottesville, we had a couple of these fucking Nazi clowns on the show. And before we ever realized just how much it was going to escalate, where it was more just arguing about the internet and who's saying what on Twitter and who's kind of being a coward and that kind of shit. And then obviously things got way, way worse and very tragic over the weekend. But I thought what you had to say about those dudes was very appropriate. Because on the one side, I don't like how they try to hide and be like, we're not Nazis. But on the other side, they're exactly what you described them as, which is just a bunch of fucking punks. They're really not what they try to portray themselves as.
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, it's crazy to me. First of all, I don't know what the fuck they are, but to give them the white nationalist, this gentrified name, that I don't know if they gave it to themselves or somebody else did, call them white fucking racist fucks.
Yeah.
You're not white nationalist. We're not cleaning the shit up. Like, you don't get to pick what the name you want to go by. You know what I mean? The hail Trump. It's Barstool Sports, so I don't want to get too much into politics, but it's just discouraging, and I really think that people need to, you know, not be afraid to speak their mind, you know, and not be afraid to back on decisions. You know, you could say things, change them, move them around, you can have a vote. You could have voted for Trump, and then not, you know, it's like the thing, the only thing I want to say about the politics and the Trump and the voting, everybody's got their feet in the sand. I voted for Trump, and I'm right. He won. You're wrong. You didn't vote for him. Fuck you. It's a living, breathing, valuable thing. In sports, Knicks, perfect example. Phil Jackson, come in. Everything's going to be great. It wasn't great.
Right.
Bye-bye, Phil Jackson.
Yeah, that's actually, in a weird way, that's a good comparison, because I remember being like, I'm ready to ride with Phil Jackson. Like, the dude is a proven winner. We'll see if he can do it on the front office level. And if he can't, he can't. Sort of like Trump, he can't do it. And I remember, I mean, all Knicks fans backed off of Phil Jackson, like, fuck this guy.
Right.
Why people can't do that with politics, I don't know.
But with this, it's like some other shit.
Yeah.
It's like fucking some other, like, you know, I'm not, it's like they cemented themselves in the ground. All of us have. And I just think it's important to be open-minded, and that, you know, you can say something, you can evolve, you can change, you can alter it, you can move forward. You don't have, you know, no, none of us are totally righteous. None of us are perfect. And especially shit talkers like myself, like you, podcasts and all that stuff, you know, and people on Twitter, like, we don't have to, like, you know, buckle our seatbelts into the ground and, like, live there for eternity.
Right.
And when you look at it like sports, it's like, same thing. It's like, you know, GMs work, trades work. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And you know, I just think that, you know, we should all be comfortable, you know, with being, staying open-minded.
How about Rappaport with his fucking Rocky speech here? If I can change, you can change, we all can change. I love it. All right, well, so let's move on from reality, where shit is pretty heavy, and on to onto fantasy, where your boy Rappaport thrives in the fantasy world. You got this new show. Yeah. Fantasy Football Follies, presented by DraftKings, which drops on Thursday the 17th in the iTunes store. Tell me what you can expect from this show and what we can expect from you this season on Fantasy Sports.
Well, let me tell you something, KFC. You said that you wanted to get out of reality and talk about fantasy. My fantasy is my reality. Fantasy football is my reality, okay? And when it comes to fantasy football, especially this time of year, when you're drafting, when you're mock drafting, when you're duress mock drafting, there's no feelings in fantasy. There's no sentimentality in fantasy. There's no that. My feelings for Tom Brady, well documented. My real life feelings for Tom Brady, well documented. He's available in my draft. He becomes my loved one. He becomes my brother. I look to him. I love him. I don't care who the fuck he's playing. He might be playing the New York Giants. So the Fantasy Football Follies, expert advice. I'm now, I don't know if you heard this, it's all over the internet, I'm now a senior fantasy football analyst.
Oh.
I gave a deposition. I passed with flying colors. The Fantasy Football Follies is going to be fun. We're bringing the fun back to fantasy. They haven't changed the mold or the face or the texture of fantasy football for 26 years until August 17th. There's no more nerd shit. I'll give you the stats. I'll give you the guts. I'll give you my blood. I'll give you my sweat. I got the information. We're going to have fun with it. It's going to be dope. The Fantasy Football Follies, I can't wait. I love this time of year. Right now it's mock draft season, but I've mock draft so much right now. Now it's duress mock drafting. Are you familiar with
that? What does that even mean, Rap?
What are you talking about?
Okay, anybody could mock draft. After a couple of weeks, it becomes easy. Only real fantasy football players who are really about that fantasy football life, who are really about winning, kicking ass, taking names, mock draft with duress. Duress mock draft.
So like you like so
let me explain. I dropped my mom up off at the airport. Pulled over on the 110 freeway, 9 in the morning, put my blinkers on. Very safe. Got out of the car. Sat there on the 110 freeway, morning traffic. Told my mom, wait in the car. I did a quick 18 snake draft on the side of the freeway, crisscross applesauce. If you could draft on the side of the road on the 110 freeway, that's a duress. People are honking. People are taking pictures. People are heckling. There's that cat-killing motherfucker. What are you doing? I'm duress mock drafting. Duress mock draft number two. This is all true. I went to my local old age home. My father's 84. I love older people. Two for one. Donate your time to clean up the gymnasium at your local old age home. It's like the slaughtering of the lambs in there. The people are in the gymnasium, they're lifting weights, it sounds like this. You clean up the gymnasium while the older people are doing their rubber band workouts, their 5-pound weights. If you could mock draft in an old age home, while older men and older women are in there moaning and groaning and trying to skip rope, your regular draft in your season long or your auction will be easy. It'll be like cake work. Duress, mock, draft.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a dollar. It's almost like when you take a couple cuts in the on deck circle with a donut on, then you get to the plate, it's a little bit easier. A little bit of duress. I get it.
Boom.
I think you're a madman.
You're playing against the people in your league. They're heckling you. They're talking shit. Time's running out. You thought you were going to get Big Mike Evans. Big Mike Evans is taking off the towel. Take it off. You need to be ready to prepare for everything. I do it in the shower. I take a hot shower, 45 seconds. Get out. Make a pick. Go in there. Take a cold shower, 45 seconds. Make a pick. You got to create some nerves. It's like Navy SEAL training.
I was just going to say the SEALs don't train this hard.
No.
Not even the SEALs, man. Not even the SEALs.
Bring any Navy SEAL that you want. I'm sure you guys have a relationship. If they're reading about that fantasy football life, you give them my number, give them my email. I'm down to duress mock draft for free, free of charge, with any Navy SEAL that wants that work. Get your mind right.
Is this something you invented, Rap? I've seen a lot of fantasy talk in my day. I've never heard of a duress mock draft. You started this?
I started this, but I'm not like, it's not like I'm trying to like trademark it or anything. But if you try to use it, I'll sue you. But that's not the point. The thing about the fantasy football side is that I'm there to give the information. We're going to go through the highs and lows of the fantasy football season. Dope guests, Stephen Smith Sr., Brandon Marshall. It's going to be experts, shit talkers. It's fun. Information is great. I know what I'm doing. I know what I don't know, and I know what I do know. And again, the other thing with fantasy football, watch who you get your rankings from. I'm not naming names or any other networks, any of these other clowns. Watch who you get your rankings from, people. Don't follow the trend when it comes to fantasy football. Set the fucking trend. Don't listen to all these nerds who can't even play catch with a wiffle ball, okay? Some of these guys are out there, you listen to them for advice. Because of what? Because they're on TV and they got a car on? Fuck those guys. Okay, trust your instincts. Don't get rattled by all this. You got to know who you want and know who you don't want. Sometimes knowing who you don't want in fantasy football is more important than knowing who you're drafting. There's some guys that need to be taken off your list. They're just not good. They're not going to make it happen. They got good names. They might even have a sneaker named after them. Doesn't matter.
Well, there's only one way to not get rattled. That's a duress snake draft. There's only one way to make sure you follow the best and most entertaining content during fantasy football season this year. It's at the Fantasy Football Follies, presented by DraftKings. Comes out this Thursday, August 17th, on iTunes. Rappaport, go get back to murdering cats, my friend.
Hey, just so you know, Big Three yesterday.
Uh-huh.
The games in Los Angeles, Staples, Oakley was out there. He missed shots, but he was very Charles Oakley. Like, he just missed shots because he just wasn't shooting them. But you would have been in heaven.
Dude, I feel like he could still suit up.
You know what? I'm not playing around. He could absolutely suit up.
Like, right?
He looks great. He was out there pushing people around, grabbing rebounds. He's a brick shit house. He looks like Charles Oakley. And like, the fans were going nuts. Unfortunately, he didn't make a lot of shots, but his presence was felt. I wish he had been playing all season because he could seriously still play professional basketball at some level.
On some level, you just need a bruiser, dude. I could use a little bit of that back in the garden right now, and nothing else, you know?
Absolutely, you need that there. And people feed off that. They feed off of, like, a guy like that who's just ride or die for your team. And the beauty of Charles Oakley playing at the Staples Center for the Big Three is the Garden might have banned him, but the Staples Center and the rest of the country didn't ban him. So that's my thing. I don't know where you're at with the Knicks. Like, I'm not really talking
bro, about where else is there to be with the Knicks? Fuck this whole organization, man.
Yo, I'm not going back to the Garden straight up until they allow Oakley back in.
Yeah, like, that was the last straw for me.
I'm not taking any tickets. I'm not going back in there until that ban is off. Fuck it.
Yeah, man, that was the jump off point for the revolution for me. I mean, I don't know what it's gonna take to stop Dolan, but I ain't contributing to it anymore. Unless you give me like courtside tickets, and then I'm gonna go.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
All I get is I'm blessed, I'm fortunate to get the courtside seats. I'm telling you right now, you will not see me at Madison Square Garden until until that ban is officially publicly lifted. I'm done.
Okay, well, kick them my way, and I'll go, and I'll make sure that people know Mike Rappaport ain't coming back in these seats until that happens.
It's not just Knicks, Rappaport. It's any event there you won't go to?
No. I'll go to the Garden. It's the Knicks.
Okay.
What else am I going to be ready to go see Billy Joel? What the fuck? I'm serious. You think I'm going to go see a Billy Joel concert? I'm not going. But I'll go to the Garden. It's the Knicks. That's it. Done. For a year. I'm sitting it out. And also, is there other ways to spend your money in New York City?
Yeah.
A revival at Cats or go, something like that, like the play?
Go get yourself a nice rub and tug at one of these spas. You know what I'm saying? Done.
I'm saving money. What are you going to go see? Frank Nicolina?
Yeah, not he's not moving the needle. He's not putting asses in the seats at all.
What about the press release saying that the Knicks signed Michael Beasley? The fact that they have the gall to actually put that in the press, we signed Michael Beasley, like we're supposed to be like, okay, yeah, that's a piece.
Right. Right, like fans are going to get hyped up for that one. Super cool Beasley is back from overseas.
Michael Beasley in his 14th year, they got him medicated, they got him straightened up. Great. Give me a fucking break, man.
Mike, you need football back in your life because it's you can't still be worrying about the Knicks right now. You got to turn the page to football.
I'm rolling on fantasy, but I couldn't.
Oh, how about this? I got this idea. You got to do like a fantasy duress draft, like at the Garden somehow with Dolan in your face. That would be the true duress draft.
That's how you duress. Like, how do you stay focused on your draft when the temptation to just fucking, you know,
murder that little Ewok. I'll say it for you. Fucking kill that little Ewok.
There you go. Can you mock draft with James Dolan in your face? New York, ask yourself that question, okay? Don't make your mock draft so easy for yourself. Go to the Garden. Get those feelings of hate, anger, and frustration, and try to do your draft there.
Beautiful. Hate. I love it, Mike. Call in as the season starts cooking. Let us know how everything's going on. Fantasy football follies.
All right, I'll talk to you. Oh, man.
Have a good one, dude.
All right.
That is noted cat killer, Michael Rappaport, fantasy sports expert, and now like stark raving lunatic on the side of the road and in old folks' homes.
I can't tell if he's kidding about that.
I don't know either. I have a feeling. Could you imagine Mike Rappaport on the side of the highway in L.A. with cars like, boom, boom, people stuck in traffic. Like,
I think it's
Mike,
even crazier at the old folks' home.
Cat killer.
Like, he can't do that, right? He doesn't do that. He doesn't mop up an old folks' home gym while simultaneously picking football players. If he does that, he's a real mental person. He was kind of on a rant. I didn't want to jump in there and tell him that he was an insane person. I think he's legitimately insane if he does that.
What a beautiful, beautiful
thing. He's not even picking against anybody.
he's just doing it himself.
He's just picking against himself. Well, he mops up a gym. What the fuck?
I love it. That interview was brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave, they got razors. They got shaving cream, a.k.a. shaving butter. They've got hair product. They've got lip balm. They've got lotions. They've got, what else do they have? Fights? What else do you use to groom yourself, you little lady boy?
This is all natural beauty, Kevin. Unfortunately, this one's not for sale there.
Okay. Well, Dollar Shave Club, any products that you need as a guy to make sure you smell
clay.
Good.
Clay is a big one.
Hair clay?
You want to use the hair clay.
Yeah, I'm with that. It's called like Boogies. I think Boogies is the line that Dollar Shave Club has. They've got the hair clay. I rock with that because it doesn't make it like greasy, shiny look.
Right.
It keeps it like dull while staying still.
Yeah, your hair looks great today, Kev.
You know what? Thank you. I needed that.
You're welcome.
I also shaved my neck beard this morning with a little Dollar Shave razor. It felt great because my Dollar Shave Club razors are on point, and my Dr. Carver shave butter is as smooth as it gets. It helps prevent ingrown hairs and fights razor bumps. So make the smarter choice by joining Dollar Shave Club. For a limited time, new members get their first month of the executive razor with a tube of Dr. Carver shave butter for only $5 with free shipping. After that, razors are just a few bucks a month. That's a $15 value for just $5. You can get this offer only exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/KFC. That's dollarshaveclub.com/KFC. Voicemails time, motherfucker. What do we got? Let's see. Let me open this shit up. We got 7 to pick from. 7 minutes in heaven. Let's go right off the bat. Girl gets Costanza'd.
Hey, KFC. Need a judgment call here. Broke up with my boyfriend last week. Ended it with I think we should part and go our separate ways. Go on vacation. Come back. And he shows up at my house, gives me a kiss hello, and pretends like nothing ever happened. The guy just George Costanza's me when he got fired and came back to work, pretended like nothing ever happened. Here's my question. Do I respect the game and say, fuck it, and stay with him? Or do I get a restraining order and call him crazy? I'm 50-50 here. I almost respect it. I'm almost getting a restraining order. I don't know. What do you guys think? Let me know.
I love this. Love this.
What do you love? Which part?
I love all of it. I love every single aspect of it.
I think you have to have a little bit of pride when you get dumped and be like, all right.
Nah, I'm not turning my key.
Why? Why not? Turn your fucking key. Blow this shit up.
I don't know. If I like you, but fuck you, I'm going to break it up. And I respect
some stubborn shit.
I respect her respecting it, being like, you know what? Maybe we don't.
maybe I didn't think this through.
Yeah,
enough.
I'll tell you what.
If you have those second thoughts, stay together.
Yeah, definitely.
If your thought is not like, yo, we are fucking done, if you're even kind of considering it, deep down, you guys are right for each other.
Right, right. Look, it can work out well sometimes. Young Henry Lockwood was fired, refused to accept his firing, showed up at work. I think he's one of the best employees we got.
Sometimes you got to fight for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Right? Love ain't easy, baby.
No, it's not. You got to put in work.
Sometimes you got to dump your boyfriend, go on vacation, show up, he's sitting on your fucking doorstep.
And just accept the
fact. Look, that's dedication, man.
I mean, I do think there's a case to be made that if some girl dumps you and goes on vacation, probably like fucks a bunch of guys on vacation and then comes back fully expecting to just be moved on with her new life and you're just still there, you're kind of a chump-ass puppy dog. But also, I kind of fuck with that level of stubbornness and pigheadedness.
Yeah. I think it's great.
But it's got to be pure ignorance, like, hey, what's up, babe? And she's like, what are you doing? And you got to be like, it's Friday. We always hang out on Friday, whatever. And just be like, just don't even acknowledge that there was a breakup.
Like, that wasn't a breakup. It was just a fight.
Like, that wasn't real. Come on. That was a joke.
Yeah, just fucking
around. We just fight. I mean, how many times have you broken up? Come on. We've broken up 1,000 times. That one doesn't stick.
Every fight I ever get, it ends with a breakup, basically. So you can't take it seriously.
Noted long time monogamous relationship haver, John Feidelberg.
Almost every single, like.
All of them end up level of a breakup.
It doesn't end up like a breakup. It just ends with me walking away going, this is about 3 months left.
This like, one is pretty much cooked.
Like, yeah, like she's onto my shit. She's over my shit. This one's on its way out the door. We'll see. We'll sneak in a couple more sexes while we can, and then back to the couch.
I don't even want to know what number three is like. Maybe the grossest voicemail ever.
It's not good.
Are we ready for that? You want to ease into a little more? You want to pull the Band-Aid off? Because we have to do that when they label it like that. We're obligated to.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's go.
Pull the Band-Aid off.
I figured I'd want to tell you a little story that I just heard from my girlfriend about her coworker. About 6 months ago in California, they were banging as she was on the end of her period. And then he pulled out and then finished over. And then a little bit of uterus lining came out, too. And landed on her tummy. And then this freaking pre-crime motherfucker decided to scoop it up with a finger and then eat it like a freaking kinky robot because he thought that was the hottest thing ever. And now I'm scared that this guy's on the loose in California. So I'm sort of hoping that North Korea just nukes them, right? Gotta hope that.
That made me legit get a little bit sick in my stomach. I felt a little tickle in my throat like... Eating the uterus is just... Big Baller Brand has arrived, by the way. The t-shirts are here! I'm officially a Big Baller, baby! Yeah! Let's go! Back to uterus. That's disgusting. I can get down with damn near absolutely anything. When you start talking about any bodily, like, bathroom functions or blood, I'm fully, fully out.
I don't like to cast stones when it comes.
I'm throwing stones at these people.
When it comes to doing something you think is sexy, because look, when you have a hard dick,
anything's possible.
Like just fucked up stuff becomes hot. Like
it's true.
You watch a Pornhub, you fall down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like we want to put our mouths on your asshole.
You
for
get
some
a
reason.
Hard dick, and it's crazy. It starts off. You can get if you have a hard dick in your hand, your own preferably. It starts off with like a blowjob video, and before you know it, like you're jerking off to like Faces of Death.
Right.
Like just some dude getting his head cut off. And yeah! That shit happens.
It happens, bro.
That's the way it works. I think it's scientifically, it's because the blood stops going to your head. And then your
it's all in your dick.
It. Yeah, so you're like,
your brain starts functioning like an animal.
Right, the part of your brain that says, "Hey, don't watch that murder. That's fucked up."
But here's the thing:
doesn't work as well.
We've been watching Faces of Death and porn murders and whatnot for decades now.
I just like watching a chick get electrocuted.
Right,
like,
What the
fuck
wrong
with me?
I mean, I've seen them. They just like punch them in the face, and like, there's not even any sex going on. They're in clothes,
it's
and they're
just a fight.
They're just beating this girl up. Her clothes are on, and they're just punching her in the face. What? I mean, one time, there was just spit everywhere. Everybody was fully clothed. They were just spitting on each other. And you know what? I was down with it.
I liked it. Yeah.
But I have never come across anybody eating, period.
No.
So that's a testament to just how fucked up this is. Because even the weird, fucked up world of the dark black porn web that we look at, we were like, even those people are like, well, we're not going to do that.
No. I mean, basically, this guy just, like you said, he turns into an animal. Like, I mean, you just became like a cannibal.
Yeah, that's human flesh.
Imagine that, getting your rocks off. That's a tough.
That sucks when you have to look yourself in the mirror and be like, I like that.
Yeah, that's a tough niche to find, too, to get, like, you know.
They say that,
to
like,
find
more,
that
porn
like,
is,
even,
like, ruining.
Like, furries,
you know,
can, like, find others.
Yeah, yeah.
There are not a lot of uterine eaters.
But you find that one person, you're good to go. That's it.
Until you eat her whole uterus, and then what are you going to do?
You just become a cannibal and kill that girl.
I'm gonna start working eating titties now. Imagine just eating a titty.
Oh God!
Like, you just cut a titty right off.
Oh,
and you just put it on a plate.
Too fatty for me.
Way too fatty.
I like my meat a little leaner.
Where?
If I were to be a cannibal, I think I would eat like the.
Well, chicken titties are good.
Chicken breasts.
Yeah,
they're all right.
Yeah, that's like. I mean, that's way better than. I don't like thighs. Fuck a thigh.
That's true. Maybe I will eat tits.
Would you eat an ass? A rump?
A rump roast?
Yeah.
No, I think it's got to be like a thigh. I think the human
thigh. Thigh's dark meat. I don't like dark meat.
Do you think that we have dark meat and light meat too, like the chickens?
Yes.
We probably do. I just don't know how it correlates. I feel like I would eat like a tricep.
A tricep? That's going to be tough.
Too tough.
Yeah.
That's like your hanger steak of humans.
Yeah.
What's the filet of humans? Google this. What is the filet mignon of humans?
Yeah, Tom, you do it on your computer.
Keep that part of a
human to eat.
I think that the filet has to be fatty but pretty lean, like the calf. Because the thigh and the ass and the tits are too fatty. So I'm just going down the road here.
Who do you like? What person alive do you think would be the best to eat?
Probably me. I'm like a veal.
See, I think
I'm
Rihanna.
So tender.
I think Rihanna would be delicious because she's like, she's in shape, but she's not like
she's still
muscular.
Thicky.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, like you kind of need a little bit of that on you. I think Rihanna would be pretty good.
You think I would taste good? You don't think I'd taste
you?
Good? I think I'd be like veal. You know, when they like don't let the like they put the like they put the cows like in the little stable
yeah,
so
you
like, can't
move
walk around and like there's no muscles.
Right.
Just,
yeah.
I'm a veal.
I don't really like veal.
I'm just saying. So that's fine. If I'm not your taste, that's fine.
Right.
But I would be tender as fuck to eat. That's a fact, Jack. There's no doubt about that one. Let's go from cannibalism on to, I don't know, let's see. Let's go with, by the way, to wrap up, guys are not into that. If a guy does that to you, I would run for the hills.
Yeah. I mean, just drinking blood is fucked up.
I mean, that's like, there's a reason why vampires and fucking people do that. Number two, Snapchat.
Hey, KFC, long-time listener, first-time caller. So I got this friend. He has a problem with Snapchatting too many girls. But the only thing is that I know most people my age use Snapchat to find girls to hook up with. But so this kid has probably 10 or 11 Snapchat streaks that are over 100.
Oh, wow.
With girls that he has never hooked up with. So I'm thinking, is he gay? Is he, yeah, is he just closeted? We're just trying to figure out.
The Snapchat streak is,
what is
an interesting little wrinkle in the social media world. If you chat with someone every day, it shows up how many days in a row you've Snapchatted with them.
Okay.
So, which kind of defeats the purpose of Snapchat, I would imagine. If you're, everything's supposed to be like on the low on Snapchat,
isn't
right?
that like, didn't they used to have like best friends and they got rid of that?
Yeah,
cause of-
but now, so now like, there was an article about some girl who had like a 500 whatever day streak with her boyfriend. And it, like, erased, and she emailed Snapchat and had them, like, reinstate it because she, like, loves the streak. BuzzFeed did a whole article on, like, okay. things about your streak. To me, I think that is rather
heard of this at
counterintuitive
all.
To the Snapchat world right. because you're supposed to be doing everything on the low and disappearing and no tracks, except when you, like, look at their name, it says how many days in a row you've been chatting.
Yeah, that's not good.
Seems a little suspicious.
Right.
So this guy has like 10 girls that he's speaking to for over 100 days. that is the worst thing I've ever heard.
What in the God's name? What are they talking about? Because they're not girls they've hooked up with.
That's
right?
what he says. Yeah. So either maybe this.
Do you
this,
know 10 people
that I want to talk to for 100 days straight? For sure not.
They're literally.
I mean
zero
that people. That means you have to like answer a text, close it, go to the next one, answer the snap, close it, go to the next one. By the time you get down to 10, you got like a little bit of time to like start over again before this person who expects to be in a conversation with you over 100 straight days. I mean, that's crazy. And you're not fucking any of them?
This is a bad, I'm honest, this is a bad question for me because I don't really know how to Snapchat or anything like that. And like, I
think about if you're like, texting someone.
But like, don't you like have to, it's just pictures, right?
No, you can just text too, though.
Oh. So why aren't you just texting? Why don't you have phone numbers?
Because it's supposed to be on the low. But now all of a sudden you have these snap streaks.
This is too much for me. it doesn't make any sense. I don't know where I was going to go with that, but it's just,
I think he's either gay or maybe he's in a relationship and this is just his out without like banging other chicks. So he just wants to talk.
That's the worst cheating ever.
Well, I mean, I maybe you never fucked him, but maybe they're like sending pictures and shit.
You know what I
mean? Like you can
don't Snapchat nudes. You're such a fucking pussy.
Why?
Send a naked picture. Be an adult. And text me your tits.
Fair. And when you say tits, you mean asshole.
And I mean asshole. Put your fucking...
Put your face on it. Let me see it. Earn it.
I mean, titties.
Let's go number 5. I have a problem. I see what you guys did there with that title. Clever.
Hey, what's up, guys? Long-time caller, or long-time listener, first-time caller. Already fucking up a little bit, but I got a pretty interesting thing that's happened to me over the past couple of days that I want to ask you guys about. So there's this smoke show girl, and just absolute stunner, red hair, really hot, but I had only seen her with sunglasses on for the first few times that I hung out with her, and then sunglasses came off one night. Turns out she has a glass eye.
Oh!
Now this chick is super into me. I've been vibing with her since I met her, but this glass eye is like kind of like a huge deal for me. It's kind of weird. I mean, it's nowhere bad as Riggsy or anything like that, but I just want to know what your thoughts on it are. What would you do, smoke show with a glass eye?
First of all, to be like, it's not as bad as Riggs. Like, if you have a full blown artificial glass eye, it's as bad. Yeah, it's worse than Riggs. I think. Do you respect this girl hiding it under the shades and then just dropping the bomb on you? I think you either look at it like that was kind of ridiculous. You knew eventually you were going to have to pay the piper on this one. Why didn't you just tell me? Versus respect the hustle, girl. You wheeled me in.
Nah, you got to pay.
You got to say. You got to tell it up front.
Because that's a deal breaker for me. I'm sorry.
You're out?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how.
If we have a lot of glass eye listeners, I apologize, but... It's just not for me. That's not the
glass
game.
Glass eye lives matter too, John.
I'm like, it will just wear on me. I'll have sex with you, sure, but like.
What if she's a fucking savage in bed, beautiful chick, makes a lot of money, the whole nine?
I will
That will grow. That disease will grow in me.
Yeah.
That I hate this fucking eye. Then there's like, I'd have stories behind him, like, that fucking eye's looking at me. I bet like she has like a fake thing that's set up where that's why she remembers everything.
Yeah.
Like
Black Mirror. She's actually just replaying what I did last night because she has hidden cameras in the back of her eyes. Yep.
Conspiracy theories abound.
No, I hear you.
And it would be like I was just talking about how sometimes you get in a fight and I'm like, well, that's the end of that. Once I saw that,
came off, you'd be like, well, I'll ride this out, but we're not going to make it.
Yeah, the doomsday clock.
And she probably pulls the glasses up and she's like, well, this isn't going to last. I've seen that face before. That guy hates my glass eye.
She does that. She takes the glasses off like Matthew McConaughey in Failure to Launch when he takes the girl home when he wants her to dump him. She's like, I'm fucking sick of this relationship. Bam.
It's kryptonite.
Yeah.
Male kryptonite. My eyes are glass. You'll never want to talk to me again.
I don't even know if I could stay like hard. If we're having sex.
I'll throw you on your stomach and I won't deal with that glass eye at all.
Like smacking the side of the head to get it look straight again.
Oh, what if it comes out?
Well.
Next voicemail, you sick fuck. Hey, girl. Happy Mother's Day.
Hey, y'all. Question for KFC Radio. So I've been out with this guy a couple times a few months ago. When we started seeing each other, and he came over for the first time on a Saturday night, yada, yada, yada. We wake up Sunday morning, and the first thing he says when we wake up in the morning is, hey, girl, happy Mother's Day. Now, it was Mother's Day to his defense, but I just thought it was, like, the craziest thing to say to somebody the first time you wake up next to them. So we continue to see each other, but I still can't get that out of my mind.
That's a deal breaker.
I think it's super weird. My friends think it's hilarious, but I think they're making fun of me in the fact they think it's hilarious.
No, definitely.
Why I stuck around with this guy. So question, can I get over it? Should I get over it? And second, have y'all ever said or heard really weird things after yada, yada, yada?
This is for sure a deal breaker. Whether it is for you or is not, something of this magnitude, if you tell me this is never going to go away, like the glass eye, I'd be like, I respect it.
Yeah.
If you tell me that this guy being like, happy Mother's Day to you after the first time you like woke up after you fucked is going to stick in your brain, that ain't going anywhere. Sometimes you just have to be aware.
You can't bring mothers up in any bedroom situation.
No. It's straight out of Seinfeld.
Yeah, exactly.
Mothers, the panties your mother laid out for you, done. That's it. The mood is ruined. The relationship is over. Get out the transfer papers. Call it a day.
Also, like, I mean, is he implying that he came in her and got her pregnant?
That was my first thought. Like, is this is that sounds like malevolent? Like,
yeah,
you gonna be a wife? You gonna be a mom, girl?
In 9 months, you're getting a present.
I also just think that's just a weird thing to do. Unless it's a mom, you don't say Happy Mother's Day to that person.
Yeah,
it's like when people. It's almost like, you know, saying Happy New Year's to people.
I don't know. Sometimes I like to
certain times you just don't do it anymore. You just don't say these things.
Sometimes after sex, I feel too comfortable with the person, and I will like jokingly say something inappropriate.
Don't do that. Don't listen to Feidelberg.
It can be funny.
It's
a great
catastrophic.
It's a great relationship tester for me because if she doesn't think that's funny, we're probably not gonna last. We're probably not going to have a very...
Spoiler alert, you're probably not going to last anyway.
I mean, like, longer than that morning.
Got
like,
it.
I mean, like, oh, she doesn't think it's funny.
I'll see you again for the second time.
If she doesn't think it's funny, then it's like, you know, she's not a girl I'm really interested in being with for a long time.
Like, and that would be one of your jokes? LOL. Happy Mother's Day.
Hey, happy Mother's Day.
Hey, I came inside you. Last voicemail of the day is brought to you by 5-4 Club. 5-4. You don't need to spend a fortune to look good. You don't need to spend a fortune to have a nice wardrobe. 5-4 Club is revolutionizing the way men shop by doing the shopping for you, sending it directly to your house. Cut out the middleman. Cut out the mall. Cut out the salesman. Cut out walking home with bags of clothes. Cut out trying things on. You go to 54club.com. You create a style profile, which means you put in your measurements, and it puts in your style preference, your fashion preference. And that way they know exactly what sizes to send you and exactly what styles to send you every season as the styles change. And every month you're going to get a package with 2 to 3, maybe even 4 items of clothing that you know you're going to like and you know are tailored to your fitting. Go to 54club.com. Spell it out, FIVEFOUR club.com. Use the promo code KFC, and you get 50% off your first package. That's 54club.com. promo code KFC for 50% off that first package. Final voicemail. Fights you have to pick between Black Enough or Out of the Jungle.
I feel like those two shouldn't have been read back to back.
Well, that's what I do around here.
Black Enough.
Yo, KFC Fights, long-time listener. So I'm calling because I have sort of a potential dating situation. As of recent, I'll say a few months back, found myself hooking up with white chicks who are into black guys. But here's the thing, I'm not black. My dad's Hispanic and my mom's Indian, so Black Enough.
Wow.
But they don't know that. So, I mean, I'll just be in a situation where a buddy of mine would just say, hey, this chick thinks you're hot, but she likes black guys. And I'll just say, I'm Black Enough. Or when I hook up with them, they'll say, oh, shit, I've always wanted to hook up with a black guy. And I'm just like, yeah, fuck it, yeah, I'm black. But anyway,
Mike Tirico of sex over here.
About a month ago or so, and it's been going really good. And I'm thinking of taking those next steps with her. Thing is, obviously, she thinks I'm black. She's into black guys. So my question to you guys is, do I cut my losses, just admit to it and tell the truth now before
this
it's too late?
This is quite.
Or do I pull a fight?
Situation.
Don't say the truth and have my dad.
Feidelberg is not going to tell the truth here. Ride this out. You got to ride this out because if this chick reacts, she's the racist.
True. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, don't ever tell the truth.
Why
don't ever rat on yourself.
Fuck, would you tell her?
First of all, two things. If you actually literally say the phrase black enough, you're in the clear. If someone was like, you're black, and I said black enough, that is me saying I'm not really fully black. And if you're okay with that and you move on, that's on you. Number two, if I was like, yo, I'm black, and you were like, or I'm not black, you were like, ugh, we're done. You are a racist piece of shit. No one's going to do that. No one's going to cop to that.
Yeah, but they'll still that will be
the end of the relationship, one way or the other.
I think just like fucking lie forever. When given the opportunity to tell the truth, or lie forever.
Lie forever. I mean, I lie, deny. But
how about this dude?
This is the Mike Tirico. Mike Tirico let the whole world believe he was a black guy when he was just an Italian dude from Queens. He was accepting awards. He was winning like colored person broadcaster awards, just being like, no. Okay, sure. I guess so. I'm black. No, I'm really Italian. This dude just letting girls fuck him, thinking that he's black. Like, hey, I mean, it was never explicitly asked, are you black or else I'm not going to fuck you?
How does he find these girls that are like in he's like, I've been hooking up with a lot of girls who are into black guys lately. Like, where did you find this trove of women who
probably like white girls?
I guess he's just every time he's
college
like,
football schools.
Every time he just has sex with one, he's like, "Well, that person's officially
that's
a black
true."
Guys.
Yeah, it's like you
he's
like
never
black
fucked
dudes.
A white girl who wasn't into black guys.
Also, I mean, if you can pass, you're black.
Yeah,
come on. I mean, sometimes people are just black. It's like, oh no, he's really Dominican. It's like, no, that guy's black.
Nah, they're like Italian dudes who go to the beach for a day.
They're black
guys.
If you can, listen, if a girl will fuck you and be like, "Oh, I loved fucking that black guy," you're a black guy.
Yeah.
I don't care what the birth certificate says. I don't care what the Ancestry.com says.
Have you ever hooked up with a girl who's into black guys, Kevin?
I don't think so. Have you?
One, yeah. It was the weirdest thing. Like super into it. Like, there are some girls who are like, I fuck black guys.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And we were in bed, and she takes her phone. And she's like, just so you know, like this is the guy I had sex with last night, or not last time I had sex.
Right, and you were like, "Fuck,
fucking
that's
huge
a
dick." I was like, "What
killer.
The fuck is that for?"
Before
man?
Or after?
Before. I was like, "What?"
After, I'd be like, "Well, whatever. Okay, this is never happening again." Clearly, but before, I mean, that's the ultimate head mind fuck right there.
Like, what the? Whoa, why would you do that?
Why? That's not good for anybody. You're not going to enjoy this now.
Yeah.
You need me going in there with a boost of confidence.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, I guess we'll fucking still do this. But
should have shown me like a fat Indian guy. Some jacked black dude.
Huge dick. Like the biggest dick I've ever seen still. It haunts me to this day. If I close my eyes, it's just a big black dick.
I don't blame you, man. Those are hard dick steps to fill.
Yeah, but those white girls who fuck black guys like love to talk about that.
Yeah, they'll let you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, props to anybody like yourself who at least turns them for a night. And props to anybody who just runs around tricking girls into thinking that they're black. Any last words, Fights?
No.
We're out.